And in that notebook, you have some notes pages, and there are 8 pages. We have 4 sessions today, as the schedule says, and each session has 2 pages. One page has kind of more notes, and then if you go to the back of the page, there's a complete open blank sheet for you to use as you need. We are, since the goal of today is to grow in the Word, we're going to be in the Word the whole time. And we're going to be in many different places throughout the Word. We're going to really let the Scriptures, the Bible, be our textbook. And I don't know how familiar everybody is with the Scriptures and navigating your way through all of the books, but I know when I was first learning how to study the Bible, I didn't really know where all the places to go in the Scriptures. So when someone said, turn to the book of Obadiah, I was like a deer in headlights and got really scared. So I would just open up to the front of my Bible, to the table of contents, and I would find where Obadiah was and then turn to that page. So if you need to do that today, then you'll be just like me. That's just how I started. So I wouldn't want anybody to feel awkward for not knowing where something is, but I'll try to guide us to say, you know, it's at least in the second half of the Bible or in the first half of the Bible. But we are going to be in the Scriptures a lot. So why do we study the Bible? I actually want to start with that question. Why grow in the Word? Why would we give our time to this? Why would we give a whole day, 6 hours, to learning how to study our Bibles better? I would like us to turn to a passage that will teach us why we should do this. So why don't you, right away, we're working in the Word today, so open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. I'll put it up here on the screen. 2 Timothy, so it's in the second half of the Bible in the New Testament. It's a really little book, so you just keep flipping, find 1 Timothy, and then 2 Timothy is right next to it. It's before the book of Hebrews, if that helps. I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And can I have a volunteer read that aloud for us in a loud voice? Sarah wants to. Oh no, we have someone in the back. That'd be even better. Go for it.
'Cause
might be a familiar passage to you if you think about the Spirit-breathed Word, the inerrancy of God's Word, that there's nothing wrong within it. I want to ask 2 questions, and you'll learn very quickly that this is a very this day is going to be very interactive. You're going to do a ton of the work because you want to grow, right? And I think we can grow better if we do the work ourselves, if we practice ourselves. So I have 2 questions about this passage. According to this passage, what is the Word? And then secondly, what does the Word do? You know, what is it capable of? So what is the Word and what does the Word do? If you want to just turn to a partner at your table, or let's see, some of the tables are only have a couple people, so you could just obviously do your whole table. But why don't you discuss, but maybe the tables that have like 6 people, you might want to split them in half and do like 3 and 3s, just so you have, you know, more chance to talk. And ask from this passage, what is the Word? And then what does the Word do? Is that clear? What is the Word and what does the Word do? I'll give you a few minutes to chat with your table partners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how are we feeling? We feel like we got some answers? And if you didn't get them, maybe another table did. So we're gonna learn from each other today. All right, why don't we come back together and answer these few questions. What is the word, according to 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, and what does the word do? You can answer either one of those, and I will keep track of it by putting it up here on the screen. What'd you find? Where'd you find that? What verse?
15.
So verse 15, Sarah is saying that what is the word? The word is sacred writings. So what does that word sacred entail? What would you say, Sarah?
Holy,
set apart. It's not just any sort of book. It is a sacred book. That's great. Thanks for starting us off. Who wants to go next? What the word is or what the word does? Gail. It's God breathed. Where do you see the God breathed? That's in verse 16. Okay, it's God breathed. So not only is it saying that it's sacred, so we know it's holy, but it's actually breathed out by God, which is a very intriguing thing because I'm seeing words on the page. I'm not feeling like a breath on my face, right? But it's a way of saying, even though human men put their pens to a page, it is by the Spirit of God working inside them that God breathed out this word. So it's from Him. It's not from men. It is from God. That's great. What else? Yeah, so we say it's all scripture. So at this point, this letter written to Timothy, written by the Apostle Paul. So if Paul said all scripture is breathed out by God, what is he referring to when he refers to scripture? What is Paul referring to? Maybe I'll go back to Naomi because you said it. It would be the Old Testament. That's right. Yeah. It would be the Old Testament. But by God's grace, we have this preserved for us, this letter preserved for us, along with many other letters and the Gospels. And we are able to then also have the New Testament as part of our scriptures, too. So just to point out that the scripture is both the Old Testament and the New Testament, both are profitable for us. We shouldn't only think that one testament is better than the other. Both are crucial. Okay, what else? What about what the word does? Did anybody find anything about what the word does? Yes, Diana. Yeah, you're reading from verse 16. There's so many things that it does. We have with four or five things right in a row, if you all look at verse 16 there. It's profitable for teaching. I'm just going to put some of this up on the board. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And then, I love this last part, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. I mean, have you ever felt like, let's see, equipped for every good work. Have you ever felt inadequate for something? well, I know perhaps the scriptures don't teach us geometry. I mean, it's not going to equip us for that type of thing. But for every good work that God has called us to in order to glorify Him, these scriptures are profitable to give us a complete sense of what we need to be ready to do every good work. And how does it do that? It trains us. It reproves us. It rebukes us. It teaches us. It corrects us. It keeps us going on the right path that we're following, and it turns us when we need to be turned. The scriptures can do that, which to me is incredible, that words on a page have the ability to teach us more about who God is and to train us for a righteous life. And they're not just words on a page, just as Jordan was saying earlier. We speak, as we know the word, we speak the word. We speak the truth in love to one another. So as we even grow in our own understanding of the word itself, of the scriptures themselves, then our language is doing the same thing. Okay, what else for what the word does? Yeah.
It gives us wisdom.
It gives us wisdom. Where did you see that? In verse 14, in verse 15, the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation. So I might edit that, not just wisdom, but wisdom for salvation. I think that's key. If you ever worried, how on earth am I going to share the gospel with somebody? How do I want someone to be saved. Well, it's the scriptures. That's what makes people wise for salvation. And as you know the word and you share the word with others, that's what will help them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what the end of verse 15 says. Okay, anything else anybody wants to share? That you had a good discussion in your table and you want others to hear it? Yeah?
My name is Martha, by the way. I'm a guest of Bible.
All right, welcome.
I'm glad that someone first of all brought up that makes you wise for salvation through Christ faith in Jesus, because none of the other works that Scripture does in us. Because it's not that it does it to you, it does it in you. It's an eternal thing that happened without the first salvation that you receive. And that for you to be, when I read this passage, I always say, when it says that the man of God, the woman, may be equipped for every good work, it's like if none of these previous things have taken place, the equipping is not there.
That's a really good point. I think that's helpful to point out because what she's saying is the order of the verses is actually really important. The order of Paul's argument is really key. He first says that the scriptures, the sacred writings, are able to make you wise for salvation. And then once salvation's there, then it teaches you, reproves you, corrects you, trains you in righteousness, that you may be equipped. If it was reversed, it could be like how my experience actually growing up, that I was just trained to do good works without the gospel at the heart of it. So really I was just moral. I was a really good girl. I didn't break the rules, but I was certainly going to hell because I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's a great point. Yep, salvation comes first and then we're equipped for every good work. Let me point out something else there from verse 14. Because I think a lot of us in here have kids or there are children in our lives, because if you go to this church, there's a lot of kids in your lives. I just want to point out verse 14. It says, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. So he's speaking to Timothy, knowing from whom you learned it. Who did he learn it from? And actually, maybe I should go into verse 15. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. So from childhood, Timothy has been learning the scriptures, and he learned it from somebody. Who did he learn it from? I did not have you read this passage, so this is a question for people that may know more. Caroline, I figured you would answer.
Lois,
yes, Lois and Eunice. Okay, turn in your Bibles one page back and look at chapter 1. So one page back, look at chapter 1 in verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, as I am sure, dwells in you as well. We are women of the word. We are here to grow in the word today, and we are Loises and Eunices that are acquainted with the sacred scriptures, the sacred writings, so much so that even the children around us, we can teach it to them, and they can learn it, because it says Timothy learned the scriptures from childhood. I know my story is that I became a Christian later in life, but that for the majority of Christians, at least I'm told by some statistics, the majority of Christians are actually saved from childhood. And I say that to encourage you to not neglect sharing the gospel with children. They can learn it. They can understand it. It can make them wise for salvation. Obviously, they won't grasp it when they're really little, but the more you give it to them, as they grow up, they grow into it. So we're women of the word so that we can study our Bibles ourselves, but also so that we can pass it on. We don't keep it for ourselves. We want to be Eunices and Loises. Gail.
I was asked a question about the creation, and what's hard for you to believe? And I said, well, maybe it would be hard for you to believe just to write it the first time, but I've been knowing it since I was little, and it's been in every book, the first three Bibles, and because that's what my mom taught me.
That's wonderful. So she's just sharing her own experience of if she's trying to share the gospel with somebody and maybe creation comes up and what's hard to believe about creation for someone who is not yet saved. They ask Gail, like, how why don't you have a hard time with this, with how the world was created? And she says, well, this is what I was taught since I was little, and I've been learning this all these years, and I've grown to understand it by, I hope I'm not adding words into your mouth, Gail, but I've grown to understand it by the teaching that I've received and your own study, I'm sure, in the Word. It's great. What a testimony. That's wonderful. Okay, any other things that you're burning to share that you found? I hope we see the usefulness of studying the Scriptures, that it is worthwhile to put our time into studying the Scriptures, because it makes us wise for salvation, it equips us, it teaches us, it trains us. We can understand it, even from childhood. It's an understandable book. That doesn't mean the first time you read a passage it'll be so clear, because it's never for me, but you do a little work in it and it will be understandable. Why do we study the Word? We study it because it does all these things for us. It's life-giving. It's new life-giving, and then sustaining as we continue to live until Christ returns. Any questions so far? Or observations or impressions? Are you excited to grow in the Word? Yeah, me too. I love it. I'm so excited to grow in the Word. Okay, hopefully you're convinced that this is definitely worth our time. I mean, some of you came out of quarantine just for this event, so obviously you really want to be here for this opening session. For the next three sessions, we're really going to get into the tools that you're going to use in the text itself to come away with an understanding, but I want to give sort of an overview right now of what is helpful when you approach Scripture, and I think this is on your handout, actually, on page 1, the tools for growing in the Word. I listed four different tools there, and I was very encouraged that the first tool was the first point in this little book giveaway, that we both really care about prayer. So if two people said it, hey, it must be really important. These are four tools that I have found extremely helpful in my own growth. When I first became a Christian and was studying the Bible, I did not know anything. It was not an important, the scriptures were not important to the church I was in when I grew up. We were not told to study it. There was a lot that I didn't know. I pronounced the Bible names wrong, especially the prophets. I did not know how to say their names. And even things like the exile and the exodus, if you've heard of those things, I thought that exile happened before the exodus because it only made sense that people would be exiled out of the land and then the exodus brought them back into the land. Now, if you know this, I was totally wrong, right? It was totally backwards. But I say that to encourage you, you can be like me and not know anything, and then you could get to a point where you're training Bible teachers how to teach the Bible, right? So, and it's only because I've used these four tools are the main things that I've used to grow in my understanding of the Word. So the first one is to pray. We cannot approach Scripture thinking we can understand it on our own. We need the Spirit to work. We need help from the Lord. And when we ask Him, when we ask Him for help, He wants to give it. He wants to give us wisdom. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament. I want you to turn to the Psalms. That's a pretty big book, so you should be able to find it easily. I want you to turn to the Psalms, and I want you to turn to Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the book of the Psalms. And I'm pointing us here because if you're wondering, okay, I need to pray before I come to Scripture, but I don't know what to pray. Well, I'm going to give you some things that you can pray when you come to Scripture. And actually, I noticed in the book giveaway, he gives you four verses as well, and two of them come from this psalm. So I'm glad. Again, we're on the same track. Okay, so look at Psalm 119. Does someone want to read for us verses 33 and 34? And as it's read aloud, be thinking or be claiming this as your own prayer for even today. But every time when you open Scripture, we can be praying this. So who can read? Go for it. 33 and 34. Okay, so this psalmist is saying that as he's trying to understand and observe the law, that he calls out to God who teaches and gives understanding. So you approach a passage and you just think, there's no way, I have no idea what this is about. Well, if you ask the Lord, teach me, Lord, give me understanding, He will. That's what He wants to do. Okay, let's look at a little further on verse 73. Can someone read verse 73? Okay, so again, we have the give me understanding. So asking the Lord that He would help understand about Him. In this case, about His commandments. But I like this verse because it recognizes our God as our Creator. Your hands have made and fashioned me. If He is our Creator, He's also our Sustainer. And how are we sustained? By understanding His commandments. He, as our Creator, wants us to understand Him and His Word. Well, He wants us to understand Him. And what He's given us to understand who He is the Bible. So He wants us to understand it. So I claim that as my Creator, give me understanding to know more about who You are. Okay, let's go a little bit further in Psalm 119 to verses 124 and 125. 124 and 125. Who wants to read those? Go for it. Oh.
According to your loving kindness, teaching me statutes. I am a servant, giving understanding, that I may know the testimony.
Okay, so here I like the idea that we're the Lord's servants. So we were just talking about the Lord as our creator. So we are the Lord's servants. And as the Lord's servants, we are humble towards Him in order for Him to lead us in understanding. So there's a posture of humility as we approach Scripture. Lord, I am your servant. I bow down before you. I'm humble before you. You know all, and I don't. Please teach me. Please give me understanding. Okay, and then the last one we'll look at is verses 100, and this is towards the end, 169 to 170. So those two verses, Psalm 119, 169 to 170. Who wants to read? You want to read it first? Go for it.
Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word.
Okay, so again, this is a similar refrain, right? We've been reading these verses. And actually, if you read this whole psalm, it's just... this is the theme of this psalm, is seeking understanding and seeking to know the Lord. But in this, in these two verses here, it's not just getting understanding, but then it shows, verse 170, that He is delivered according to the word. So as we read the word and understand the word, it, as we've already seen in 2 Timothy, it brings salvation, it brings deliverance. Do you have a question?
Psalm 119 means a lot to me. You know, on 19 years ago, I was going to walk away from the Lord. I'm from Times Square Church. That's where I got saved about 30 years ago. And because I was hearing from the Lord, and you might see it a little spooky, but it wasn't. You know, because the whole church was hearing from the Lord. The whole church was hearing that something. I don't know if you guys know Pastor David Wilkerson, but he's like a man. He was a man that indisputably in the Word and before the presence of, in the face of God continuously. And that's how he encouraged us. But I was at that point that Sunday, I told my husband, I'm leaving. This is, I can't. And I'm the one that brought him to the church. He's like, what are you talking about? There's something happening. I'm like, my life is good. I don't want this. I don't want to, I was like in the people in Isaiah where it says having ears in my ear, and they put this, I didn't want to hear. I just didn't want to hear. And then I went to work because my career was going really well. Very well, so I didn't want to hear about anything. So I was like, I'm out, I don't need this any longer. Not even allowing it happen. And I already knew that something was happening, I just didn't know what it was when I saw it. I knew, and I went to the back of my trip with my camper where my actors were, I worked in the film industry where my actors were, and right there I just bowed on my knee because I knew, I felt God's turn, and I said, you need to speak to me. I don't know where to go. I know that I can't do this life unless you really do something in me now. And he led me to Psalm 119. To these passages,
wow.
And especially to it was good that I was afflicted. And God's like, you're being afflicted. Yeah, so Psalm 119 means, it is, I was like, of all the songs to give me, I'm going to give it the longest one. But it's just quite encouraging that you're bringing up that song, especially that yesterday being 19 years since 9/11, and that's all that I've been pondering on. And because I looked at it, it was 9/11, and he gave me 11/19. Which is the reverse. And then my birthday is 11/9. So I just felt like a gift from God's holding me back in.
Wow.
And just keeping His word. And that's when I became dedicated to the scriptures in the way that I had.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's, well, that's really great. It's almost like the Lord was shouting, Psalm 119, your birthday, your, like all the different ways that the numbers were adding up. That's great. And now the Lord is shouting to the rest of us here, Psalm 119, Psalm 119. All of the scripture and all of the Psalms are really important and really helpful. But if you're seeking understanding to know the word, Psalm 119 is such a great tool for us to pray and read to get us excited about the word. And just actually, since we're talking about this, and this book is not on the resources table, but I'll just briefly mention it. One of my friends edited a book called His Testimonies, My Heritage, which is a book about Psalm 119, where I think it's 22 or 24 women of color wrote chapters on each of the sections. In my Bible, I have sections in Psalm 119 that are, like, it's got a title. I don't know if you all see that. There's kind of like a little title in small caps, a Hebrew word. And it's a great explanation of Psalm 119. It's called His Testimonies, My Heritage, edited by Christy Anya Buile. That's a really hard name, but His Testimony is My Heritage. It's a great book. I highly commend it to you. Okay, so we pray, and we see this psalmist praying to the Lord for understanding. We do the same. If you are just stuck and you don't know how to understand something, or just when you come to it fresh every day, just ask the Lord to help you understand. It's the first tool that has been so helpful for me. I have seen him answer that prayer time and time again. The second tool is to consistently spend time in personal study of Scripture. Consistently spend time in personal study of Scripture. If you want to grow in anything, you have to put time into it. If you want to run faster, you have to train regularly. If you want to learn to play the piano, you have to practice daily. If you want to grow in your understanding of the word, you have to read it consistently. Even though the Lord is great and the Spirit is working in us, you won't just poof come to know everything that you need to know about the scriptures. It is a gradual process, and you'll be able to look back and remember, a year ago I didn't even know what that was, and now I do. You have to spend your time, if you want to know the Bible better, you have to spend your time studying it habitually. So I commend to you the two options that Behoff is offering immediately following this day, where you can either sign up to read one-to-one, read the Bible one-to-one and do a study together, or sign up to have a Bible study in a group of four. Are you going to say more about this, or have they already heard about this? They're going to talk more about it. Okay, they'll talk more about it. But I would just say, you should sign up for one or both. Maybe you can't do both, because that would just be a lot of meetings over the next few weeks. But you should definitely do one of them. Because if you want to grow in the Word, and you know that consistently spending time in Scripture is important, then having an accountability person, I mean, I don't want to call it that. If you are going to read the Bible one-to-one with another person every week, then that's like, you'll know you'll be in the scriptures regularly, because she's waiting for you to meet up with her, whether it's on Zoom or at the bench outside, or your group of four. Like, they're counting on you to come to that meeting, and so you have to be studying to be able to get into it. Highly recommend that you partner with someone, or partner or do the group of four to do the Bible study. I have a few other notes under there about spending time in personal study of Scripture. I'll just highlight, it's really great to read through entire books of the Bible as you can. My goal for the last several years has been to read through the whole Bible in 1 year. So I start in Genesis. Actually, I usually read in the Old Testament and the New Testament each day. So I'll read a passage, but if I start in Genesis 1, I usually read about three chapters in the Old Testament, then I'll do Genesis 1, 2, 3, and then the next day I read Genesis 4, 5, 6, and the next day Genesis 7, 8, 9. You get it, right? My goal is to get just a full understanding of the scriptures. I don't learn stuff every time. Some mornings I'm like, where did that even enter my brain? I'm not sure. But the consistency of doing it and reading through books of the Bible, just I learn over the course of weeks, months, and now years that I've been doing it. Okay, the third tool that I have on here is listen regularly to good expository preaching. So that might be an unfamiliar word, this word expository, but it basically just means good teaching is when the main point of the text is the main point of the sermon. So whatever the Bible is trying to get across in that passage, that's what the pastor is going to preach on. This would be different from, say, topical teaching, which I actually think is an okay thing to do, but I don't think it should be the regular diet of a local church. A topical teaching is where, well, in the name, you take a topic and you want to discuss a topic, and then you find verses that will help explain that topic. That just means that the ideas that you're teaching originate within you instead of the expository way where the ideas originate in the Word, and then you're, well, in your case, you're hearing that preached. So again, don't hear me say that topical teaching is totally bad, because there are certainly times for it. Maybe you need to hear a talk on marriage, a talk on purity, a talk on money. I don't know. Think of any topic, right, that a Christian would want to learn about. Those are really helpful. We need to hear those things. But our steady diet should be hearing good expository preaching, which I know you get that here at Behoff. Okay, and then let me stop before this last tool. Any questions about those first three things that I said? Yes, Caroline. Explain expository preaching. Okay, so what more? What do you mean? Oh, okay, I see. That's a good question. So what if somebody doesn't know the difference between expository teaching or preaching and topical? I think after you're done with our time today, you will have a better idea what expository teaching is. Because it is where, expository teaching is where usually only one passage is selected to be taught. And then the way it's taught, using the tools that we'll go through today, you'll be able to discern better if the teacher is getting their main point from that passage. Where a topical talk would many times use lots of different places in the Bible that mention that topic, and I mean, Caroline, I'm not comparing this to like bad topical teaching, because that's a whole other category of teaching. But that would be a telltale sign that topical teaching is using many passages to explain a topic, where expository is one passage. Though I have actually heard very good topical teaching that is expository. Like, you want to talk about marriage? Let's go to Ephesians 5, and there's a whole section in there about marriage, and you can give an exposition, expository teaching, that the topic is already in the scripture. I saw another hand. Is there another hand?
No, it was mine. I was just going to say, I was trying to reference to that, because you can do topical preaching has to have expository learning
mm-hmm.
or teaching.
Yep.
Because if not, I can take anything out of context.
Yep.
So you do have to do an exposition on every passage before you do a topical, if it's going to be responsible.
Well, that's good. If it's going to be responsible, yes. So if you want to teach on a topic, then find a passage in Scripture where that is the main point of that passage, and then yeah. And I wonder if there are any women in here that have teaching gifts or that are really interested in teaching Scripture. Maybe you haven't done it before, but you would want to. I mean, that's what I love most about what I get to do is work with teachers. So we should talk afterwards about a lot of this, because I know I'm considering more my audience, you all being more listeners of the preaching on Sunday, and then you do your own study in the Word and study with one another. But if you are gifted with teaching and you want to learn more about that, then we can talk. Okay, any other questions about the first three points? Okay, the last point, which is going to kick us off for the rest of our time together, is use helpful tools for interpretation. Use helpful tools for interpretation. And let me just mention the first one and the last one, because the middle three correspond to the next three sessions that we're going to do. But the first one, if you're going to come to the scriptures, it's really helpful to identify the literary genre of the passage or of the book. And like, we're going back to our school days, to our English class, to know what this means, you know, what is a genre. You're going to read a psalm. So we just read Psalm 119. You'll read that differently than you would read, say, 2 Timothy, which is a letter written by a person to a person. Or you read that differently than, say, the stories in the Old Testament that have characters and plot and climaxes and, you know, oh, they're really fun and they're really exciting. That's why we like to teach them to our kids a lot. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about genre. It'll come up a little bit in some of the passages that we review today, but I would highly recommend to you on that resource table a book called Dig Deeper. That goes into a little bit about literary genres, and man, it just has so many helpful tools in it. It's a really helpful book, so I highly commend Dig Deeper to you. Okay, and then the last point under the tools for interpretation: identify any outside, quote-unquote, frameworks that you are bringing to a passage that would lead you away from what the passage means. So just briefly, because I actually have a whole talk on just this idea of how frameworks can cloud our ideas. Just the fact that we are women, and the men deal with this too because they're men, just this effect that we are women, we'll come to a passage of scripture and read it slightly differently, you know, at face value than perhaps a man would. Just the fact that I am 40 years old means I will come at the scriptures a little bit differently than somebody who is 20 years old. The fact that I was brought up in Chicago with a very moral, nice family, is very different than some. Actually, I grew up in a small farm town outside of Chicago. I just say Chicago because you all know where that is. You don't know my farm town of 9,000 people that I grew up in. But that's very different than people who grew up on this block. You just have very different experiences. And so we have these frameworks that we bring to the scripture without even knowing it, because it's just in us. So I would just caution you to be aware of those frameworks, be aware of things that could cloud your understanding. And you can't get rid of them, because you are who you are, you cannot get rid of them, but try to submit those things to the scriptures. Let the scriptures be king over your frameworks. One way that I have found very helpful to identify my frameworks is studying the Word with other people, because they're like, Colleen, why are you, that has nothing to do with what you're talking about. That must be from your background. I don't know what that is. So that's been one of the most helpful things for me, is studying the Bible in community with other people. They can point it out to me. So that's frameworks. Okay, any questions on this, on that last, this last part here? All right, we feel good. We've got these four kind of overarching tools to pray, spend time in scripture consistently, habitually, listen to good expository teaching. So come to church every Sunday or listen to it online, and then use some helpful tools for interpretation, and that's what we're going to spend the rest of our day doing. I'm excited to jump in to this with you. You all have already started warming up your muscles by getting into a couple of passages and talking with your neighbor. We're going to do a lot more of that today. So let me pray just to commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you for your word that is profitable for equipping us for every good work that makes us complete. Thank you that the scriptures have made us wise for salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Son who is spoken about in all of these scriptures. Lord, we look to you and ask you for understanding. We ask you for wisdom. We ask that you would train us today, that you would help us today by your Spirit to know you better. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to take a 15-minute break. About 15, 12, 13 minutes. So come back check out the resource table and come back at 11:30.